Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Welcome. Good afternoon. This is Catholic Answers Live on a... what day is this? This is Wednesday, I think. The days and the weeks sometimes go by so quickly. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. I am in studio in the San Diego area at Catholic Answers, getting set for 2 hours of great discussions about important faith topics, and we certainly look forward to your participation. I'll give you the phone number and then introduce today's first hour guest, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're going to talk about practicing and living the sacraments with Father Wade Menezes. So if you have any questions regarding the Church's seven sacraments, any particular one, you can call in and ask, you know, how to fine-tune your understanding or how to share that or explain that to other people, where we see support for the sacraments in the Bible, how they operate in our lives. We can talk about the importance of getting the sacraments for your children. Again, how to explain these to others, especially non-Catholics. We can get into the form and the matter of the sacraments. Those two are very important. So any questions you have about practicing and living the sacraments, start dialing right now, 888-318-7884. Father Wade Menezes is Assistant General of the Fathers of Mercy. It's a missionary preaching religious congregation based in Auburn, Kentucky. He has been a contributing writer for the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, Homiletic and Pastoral Review, and many other publications. And he's hosted several TV series for EWTN. And he's also the host of EWTN's Open Line Tuesday, wherein topics revolve around faith, family, and fellowship. There's a lot more I could say, but Father Wade, I just want to bring you in here because we got a lot of ground to cover. Welcome.
Hey, Jerry, it's great to be with you again. Last time we worked together, I think, was with some Vocation Boom material.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for your support of that, and thank you for your great work on EWTN and all the other things that you do.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here with you tonight and to spend an hour with you all.
Give our listeners a quick snapshot of the Fathers of Mercy and what your charism, your mission really is.
Sure. We are itinerant missionary preachers. We were founded in France in 1808, right after the French Revolution blew a havoc and destruction to the country of France. We were founded specifically to bring the lay faithful back to practicing the sacraments, back to practicing their Catholic faith. And so today, 200 plus years later, we are itinerant missionary preachers. We travel throughout the United States and Canada extensively, and also Australia, and also in other countries that call us in for specialty missions, like India and England and Scotland we've been in as well. And we preach the week-long parish mission at the invitation of the pastor. We also preach weekend retreats, conferences, mother-daughter retreats, father-son retreats. These last four weekends in a row, Jerry, I've preached two men's retreats in northern Idaho and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and also a women's retreat, day-long conference, actually, in Iowa. And then this past weekend was the Catholic Family Conference in Greenville, South Carolina.
Wow.
So there you have it.
Fantastic. I know your confreres are very, very popular, as you are as well. And also, given that you're a religious congregation, obviously getting vocations is important to you. You've got a Come and See weekend coming up.
We do. For men 18 to 35 years of age who are contemplating or discerning a religious vocation with an active order, a strong active missionary preaching order, we want them to take a look at us. And our Come and See weekend is December 28th and 29th, that's Saturday and Sunday, pitted beautifully between the great Solemnity of Christmas and the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. And so right there during the Christmas octave, it'll be great to have some visitors here. And you can go to vocations at Fathers of Mercy.com. That's vocation with an S at the end of it. Vocations at fathersofmercy.com, and email Father Ken, our vocation director, and tell him you have an interest in visiting then.
Yeah, and before the program, a blessed surprise, Marie Dixon, our call screener, I guess she has a cousin, Joe,
yeah.
Is it Joe, who is with your community?
That's right, Joseph Dixon. Yeah. He's currently a postulant with us, and he's discerning right now with us. And so we're excited for him and for the family, and God willing, he'll make it through this period of discernment.
Very good. Father Wade Meniz is with us this hour on Catholic Answers Live, practicing and living the sacraments. Any questions you have along these lines, 888-318-7884. All right, Father Wade, a friend used to tell me that Vince Lombardi, when the Packers started practice for the season, training camp, first thing he would do is hold up a football. See, gentlemen, this is a football. In other words, we want to focus on the fundamentals, the basics. So I'm going to ask you, what exactly is a sacrament?
Okay, great, great question. In a nutshell, a sacrament is an outward, visible sign instituted by Jesus Christ that gives the very grace it signifies. We have seven sacraments in three categories. The three sacraments of initiation, we can talk more about what these titles of these three categories mean, but I'll just briefly now give a synopsis. The three sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. The two sacraments of healing, penance and reconciliation, Holy Confession, and the anointing of the sick. And the two sacraments of union, which are at the service of communion and mission to the populaces of the world, holy orders and matrimony. And so we say, Jerry, that the sacraments are efficacious signs of grace instituted by Jesus Christ and entrusted to his bride, the church, by which divine life through sanctifying grace is dispensed to us, dispensed to the individual. The visible rites by which the sacraments are celebrated signify and make present the graces proper to each individual sacrament. They bear fruit in those who receive them with the required dispositions. And it's worth saying too, Jerry, I think that the church celebrates the sacraments as a priestly community structured by the baptismal priesthood and the priesthood of ordained ministers. So it's called the common priesthood of all the baptized and the ministerial priesthood, which itself is one of the seven sacraments, the sacrament of holy orders. So, for example, this is why we hear at the words of offertory at each and every Mass, the priests say to the congregation, "Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father." Well, who offers a sacrifice, Jerry, but a priest, right? So how is it that the celebrant at Mass, standing at the altar, can say, "Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours, you laity, the sacrifice that you laity have brought to this Mass to unite with my own primary sacrifice as the pre-celebrant," they are offering their sacrifice, their intention at that Mass, through the baptismal priesthood, the common priesthood of all the baptized, which is not a sacrament, but it works in union with the sacrament of holy orders, the ministerial priesthood. And both priesthoods partake in the priestly, a prophetic and kingly office of Jesus Christ as priest, prophet, and king. And it is the Holy Spirit, Jerry, who prepares the faithful for the sacraments by the word of God and the faith which welcomes that word in well-disposed hearts. Thus, the sacraments strengthen faith and express it. The sacraments strengthen faith in an individual person and express that faith as well. And lastly, I want to say for our opening talking points here for this topic this hour, Jerry, the fruit of the sacramental life is both personal for the individual and ecclesial for the church. For every one of the faithful, on the one hand, this fruit is life for God in Christ Jesus for the church, and on the other hand, it is an increase in charity and in the church's mission of witness, again, to the populaces of the world. And the last thing I want to say here is that the church's faith precedes the faith of the believer who is invited to adhere to it, the Catechism teaches us. The purpose of the sacraments is to sanctify all individuals, to build up the body of Christ, and finally, to give worship to Almighty God. So to sanctify persons, to build up the body of Christ, and finally, to give worship to God. And because they are signs, they also instruct, huh? They not only presuppose faith, but by words and objects, they also nourish, strengthen, and express that faith. This is why the seven sacraments are precisely called sacraments of faith, huh? Mm-hmm. An important point there.
Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy with us here on this Catholic Answers Live first hour. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. We're talking about practicing and living the sacraments. Before we take a quick break and then get to the calls, talk about the action of grace or the special grace that we receive through the sacraments, Father, because we're talking about we're using water and we're using oil and we're using bread and wine. This is material stuff. How does grace work in and through these things?
Because these elements from creation are visible signs. We are a sentient people with sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. So the water we feel poured or the water we feel that we are immersed in, the invocation of the three Trinitarian persons with that three-time pouring or that three-time immersion, the oils used at confirmation, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Chrism, the blessed oil, the wine and the bread used for the Eucharist, calling it bread and wine because the consecration here has not yet taken place, huh? Confession, the expressed words of sinful matter, huh? And the words of absolution, more words, huh? Marriage, the couple's I do, the expressed consent through words, right? And their mutual consent and given to a covenant of one man, one woman for life. The laying on of hands by the bishop on the ordinand at holy orders. This physical stuff and the holy oils and the words used for the anointing of the sick. This physical stuff conveys through sentient realities as parts of creation of Almighty God, convey the very grace of the effectual reality of that grace that each sacrament partakes. And when we come back, I'd like to give a little synopsis of what it is precisely, capital P, what it is precisely that each of the seven sacraments does for the individual and how all seven fit into the entire rhythm of human life, which I might add as an average for those of us living in the West is 78 years. And I want to give a wonderful analogy that shows how the seven sacraments play into the natural rhythm of human life for these 78 years.
Very good. We will touch upon that on the other side of the break, along with your calls and your questions for Father Wade Menezes. We have Maria, Dawn, Sally, and Cecil already on the line. We have a line open, 888-318-7884. The sacraments, how we practice and live them in our lives on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884. We'll get back to your Father Wade and your calls in just a minute. Hey, have you checked out the online sale at theshop.catholic.com? We've got hundreds of great Catholic resources on sale. And beginning today, for a limited time, we're offering free shipping when you spend over $75 in our online shop. That's right, free shipping, or get this $5 flat rate shipping on all other orders. And this does exclude our bulk order offerings and is valid only in the continental U.S., so keep that in mind. But visit us today at theshop.catholic.com and check out the great savings on hundreds of great Catholic resources that are on sale right now.
Got questions? Visit us today at catholic.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
All right, got a good start going here on Catholic Answers Live, and you will fuel the conversation with your questions momentarily here for Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy. Practice and live the sacraments. That's what we're talking about right now. We'll get to your calls, but Father, as you said going into the break, you just wanted to talk about how the seven sacraments just fit into our, really what you call the rhythm of our everyday lives.
Yeah, so, you know, when you look at the seven sacraments, this is awesome. the latest longevity statistics for those of us living in the West is 78 to 79 years as an average. And when you look at the seven sacraments, you can see how they plug into the natural rhythm of human life. Now, I want to give a beautiful illustrative analogy of this. Think of the old 1940s films, Jerry, the film noir, right, where there might have been some gangsters and whatever. And there's usually a scene of an operator. She's running the old-fashioned operation board, right? And she's taking those big plugs and she's plugging them in to the holes there on the operating board, and she's doing this. Listen to this. All seven sacraments, when looked at as a whole, show forth collectively the beautiful rhythm and complete cycle of human life. And here's what I mean by this. Baptism equals infancy. Holy Eucharist equals childhood. First Holy Communion around age 7, the age of reason, huh? Confirmation equals young adult. In this country, the United States, usually administered between 8th grade and sophomore in high school, 11th grade. Some dioceses do it earlier, but as a general sense of confirmation, young adult. Holy orders and matrimony involve adulthood, choice of state in life, huh? And a pursuance of grace in that choice and state in life through the sacrament of penance, regular confession, regular reconciliation. And end-of-life stages, anointing of the sick, which includes the sacrament itself along with three other things, which collectively all four we refer to as the last rites. What are the other three in addition to the anointing of the sick itself? We include Holy Viaticum, one's final Holy Communion. The prayers of commendation for the dying, which includes, mind you, the Litany of the Saints. How awesome is that to have the Litany of the Saints prayed over you by the priest when you're on your deathbed? Holy Mother Church with her bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is right there, huh? And thirdly, in addition to the anointing of the sick, we have the apostolic pardon, which doubles as a plenary indulgence for those who are properly disposed to receive it, a complete wiping away of the temporal punishment due to already forgiven mortal and venial sin. So the anointing of the sick, end of life stages, coupled with Holy Viaticum, prayers of commendation for the dying, and the apostolic pardon. So again, baptism, infancy, Holy Eucharist, childhood, confirmation, young adult, holy orders and matrimony, adulthood with choice of state in life, confession, staying in a state of sanctifying grace while living out that vocation and state in life, and the anointing of the sick, end of life stages. We can see how the sacraments then, Jerry, plug in, huh? Like that old fashioned operator board. It's just a beautiful thing. And yet how many Catholic Christians shun the sacraments? For example, those choosing marriage, cohabitating before marriage and marrying outside the church. It's not even a valid sacramental marriage. Compare communion lines with confession lines and tell me what you come up with. Everyone's going to communion, but very few are going to confession, huh? How many relatives know to ask for the sacrament of the anointing of the sick or for the last rites collectively, all four parts, for their loved one who is dying because they themselves, the one who should be asking for the loved one to receive these last rites, they don't practice the faith, so they don't know what to ask for. So it's just very, very sad, and we need to practice and live the sacraments.
Well, we're going to get to your calls and questions now. For Father Wade Menezes here on Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. We'll start with Maria, who's listening on Sirius XM 130 in Los Angeles. Hi, Maria. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's a pleasure to connect with Father Wade. How are you?
Hi, Maria. Thanks for your call from Los Angeles today. I have a deacon brother and his wife and some friends of theirs. They're all at Disneyland today. So we're glad you called from Los Angeles, Maria.
Thank you. So, Father Wade, my question is more on sacrament of confession. I've been married for 28 years. And of those 28 years, my husband has only gone to confession once. And that's because he got an annulment and we were able to get married through the church. I worry about him not going to confession, and his thought is he can confess directly to God. He doesn't need a priest to confess things, clear him of his sins, but yet he goes to communion every single Sunday. We go to church every Sunday, he receives communion, but in the 30 years we've been together, he's only gone to confession once.
Okay. Maria, thank you for your call and your question. It sets a great template for what I want to say about confession. The church teaches that we are bound to confess our sins whenever we are knowledgeable of mortal sin. So I can't say if your husband's in a state of mortal sin, but I can surely tell him this. We are bound to confess once a year in preparation for our Easter communion if we are knowledgeable of the mortal sin, number one. Number two, he's right in this. You can go straight to God for your venial sins. That is correct. Venial sins may be taken to confession for forgiveness, but there's other ways that venial sins are forgiven, right? The penitential rite at the beginning of Mass. Why do we have a penitential rite at the beginning of Mass? Precisely so that a half hour from that point, when everyone comes up for communion who believe they are in a state of grace, they won't even have venial sin on their soul, right? Carrying out any of the combination of the three eminent good works, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, not for the sake of works, but for the sake of charity as the queen of the virtues. Or any one of the 14 works of mercy, 7 for the body, the corporal works of mercy, 7 for the soul, the spiritual works of mercy. Again, not carried out for their own sake as works, quote unquote. No, not at all. We don't believe that. But carrying them out because man is social by nature. It is not good that man be alone. And so we do works in charity first and foremost through faith, which is both a free gift from God and a human act to accept that faith. We do good works to carry out this great queen of the virtues of charity. So there are other ways that venial sins are forgiven. So in one sense, your husband's right. He can go straight to God and make a good act of contrition to have his venial sins forgiven. But if he's not knowledgeable of any mortal sin, grave matter, done with fullness of knowledge that it's grave matter, and done with deliberate consent of his will, if all three of those are present, okay, then he needs to get to confession. Now, he may tell me, well, Father Wade, my marriage is great. It's a great marriage. I don't need to go to confession. I would say, brother, your marriage may be great on a natural level, but picture your marriage on a supernatural level. Okay? Because with the sacrament of confession regularly received by the married, okay? And remember, the sacrament of confession, it helps wipe away any personal sins that we've committed, mortal or venial. But it works to help raise to a greater supernatural level the sacrament of matrimony. And what is the sacrament of matrimony? It makes a man and a woman husband and wife and gives them the grace to live with God, for God, and each other. Think of that great book by Fulton Sheen. It takes three to marry, huh? The husband, the wife, and Jesus Christ. So yeah, he can go straight to God for his venial sins, but he needs the sacrament of confession, ordinarily speaking, as the ordinary channel to have mortal sins forgiven, grave matter, fullness of knowledge, and done with deliberate consent of his will. Habitual pornography could be a mortal sin, for example. Regular practice of contraception could be a mortal sin. It's grave matter. It could be done with fullness of knowledge that it's grave matter. That is to say, it contravenes God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. And it's done with deliberate consent of the will. So if all three are present, it's a mortal sin. But if he's not knowledgeable of mortal sin, I would say praise God for that. But I would still recommend regular confession of venial sins because of elevating your matrimony to a supernatural level. And I want to close with this, Maria. These are the 9 chief benefits of a frequently received confession, whether it's just mortal sins confessed, whether it's just venial sins confessed, or whether it's a combination of both mortal and venial sins during one particular confession. These are the 9 chief benefits right out of the catechism. Conscience is purified. Grace is increased. The will is strengthened. Self-knowledge is increased. More rapid growth in the virtues takes place. Humility grows. Bad habits are assisted in being overcome. A spirit of mediocrity or lukewarmness is assisted in being overcome. And greater self-control is achieved in daily living. And remember, when we go to confession, what do we do first before stepping into the confessional? We make a good examination of conscience for about 3 to 5 minutes. I would ask your husband, I would say, brother, you're not going to confession at all? So when do you make your examination of conscience to grow in virtue? When does that happen? Do you make one at midday? Do you make one at the end of the day? Do you close it with an act of contrition? At least the regular confession provides us an opportunity to examine our conscience according to a good, solid examination of conscience that comes through the Ten Commandments. And so these are important truths of the sacrament of confession. I would urge him to go, Maria, and pray for him, fast for him, have him listen to this podcast to learn from it. And I close with this. Show me a person who goes to confession faithfully once a month, say in honor of the first Friday devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or say in honor of the first Saturday devotion in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Show me a person who goes to confession faithfully once a month, Maria, and chances are they will never have mortal sin to confess. It's precisely the monthly confession, Maria, that is per se keeping them away from mortal sin. How awesome is that? Last thing I want to say. In 2019, given the toxicity of the current Western culture, I personally believe, this is Father Wade Menezes talking now, this isn't church teaching, I want to make that clear. I personally believe that given today's toxic culture, the toxicity of the culture in 2019, it is impossible to grow in sanctity, to grow in holiness, without going to confession at the very least once every 4 to 6 weeks. 12 or 10 times a year, every 4 to 6 weeks. We need the graces of the sacrament, because every time we receive the sacrament, grace is increased. The will is strengthened, conscience is purified, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, those 9 benefits of confession. So Maria, witness to your husband, have him listen to this podcast, have him email the Fathers of Mercy with a email attention to Father Wade, let him tell his side of the story, because even if he is in a state of grace with no mortal sin at all, praise God for that. But there's still many, many benefits from a frequent confession. God bless you, Maria, and thank you for your call.
Yeah, thanks, Maria, for joining us here on Catholic Answers Live. Great stuff coming from Father Wade Menezes, and he will assist more of you on the other side of this very short break. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. Cy will be back on Friday. I'll be here for today's 2 hours and tomorrow as well. The show team is in place, and we look forward to hearing from you. Our discussion about the sacraments will continue momentarily. Don't go away.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. There are a lot of misconceptions about the Catholic faith. We clear them up on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
And of course, there are only Catholic answers with Catholic questions, and we're going to get back to your phone calls now for Father Wade Menezes. 888-318-7884. Cecil, calling from New Braunfels, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Cecil, you're up next. Fire away.
Hi, thank you for the time. My question is the following. If I go to confession and I am resolved of my sins, and now I'm in a state that I understand listening to Catholic radio of being in sanctified grace, if a person refrains from mortal sin and is acutely aware of their venial sins, is that person in a state of continued sanctified grace until they sin again?
Yeah, great question, Cecil. Thank you so much. I love these questions, Jerry. These are what I call witness questions because they're very pastoral and they allow me to give an answer that hopefully will benefit many, many souls regarding the sacraments. Cecil, the only thing that takes a person out of a state of sanctifying grace is mortal sin. How many? Just one. You want proof of that? Look at the Universal Catechism, which itself is a virtual compendium of the three-legged stool of sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium of the church, which itself, the magisterium is rooted or grounded in the apostolic college of the original 12. Huh? So number 1033, 1035, and 1037 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church make it clear that it only takes one mortal sin to take one out of a state of sanctifying grace. Okay, so I want to send you to those three paragraphs. Read them when you get a chance. But yes, you are correct. Venial sin does not take one out of a state of sanctifying grace, but it can constrict those graces from working more fully. This is why the church fathers taught, for example, in writing in the first 7 centuries, they teach us very beautifully that mortal sin severs from a supernatural level the 7 gifts and the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit from working fully within the individual, but venial sin constricts them from working fully, but does not sever them. So it is possible to have the moral certitude that you are in a state of sanctifying grace. I didn't say absolute certitude. Why can't you have absolute certitude that you're in a state of sanctifying grace? Because grace is ethereal. It's immaterial. It's an immaterial reality, right? But you can have moral certitude that you're in a state of sanctifying grace, thereby having the 7 gifts and the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit working in you. How can you have that moral certitude? By stopping at any given point of the day, Cecil, whether you're shopping at Walmart, whether you're changing the oil in your car, whether you've just entered the pew to prepare your intention for Mass before Mass begins, whatever you're doing, stop at any given point of the day and say to your inmost heart of hearts and mean it, you know what? To the best of my sincerest of knowledge, I'm not aware of any mortal sin I've committed. I'm not aware of any mortal sin I've committed. That is to say, grave matter, done with fullness of knowledge, and done with deliberate consent of your will. Grave matter, it contravenes God's moral law, the 10 Commandments, the Decalogue, and seriously so, huh? Fullness of knowledge, number 2. Fullness of knowledge that it contravenes God's moral law. And number 3, done with deliberate consent of your will anyway. If all three of those are present, Cecil, you have a mortal sin. If any one of those is missing, you have a venial sin. Great question, Cecil. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much. Thanks for calling Catholic Answers Live. Father, you had said during the break you wanted to mention that the very first Sunday in ordinary time in the church's liturgical year, the collect, one of the opening prayers of Mass, actually references the sacraments, and I'm sure that's not by accident.
Right. What a way to kick off the entire liturgical year on this first Sunday of Advent. First Sunday of ordinary time. First Sunday of ordinary time following Advent and the Christmas season. The words of the Collect Prayer say this, Jerry, quote, "Humbly we ask you, Almighty God, be graciously pleased to grant that those you renew with your sacraments may also serve with lives pleasing to you." So the sacraments renew us and cause us to serve God and to live lives pleasing to Him. Now, the entire new liturgical year kicks off with the first Sunday of Advent, but following Advent and the subsequent Christmas season, which takes us up to the presentation, February 2nd, we then have the first of 2 ordinary times of the liturgical year, right? And that first of the two begins with the first Sunday of ordinary time. And here it is, talking about the importance of how the sacraments renew us. I think it's just so appropriately placed.
Beautiful. Okay, Matt in Michigan, listening on the Ave Maria radio app. Matt, you're next on Catholic Answers Live with Father Wade. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling with a question about confirmation.
Great.
So, as far as I know, it's a sacrament to kind of be someone's final yes, like, yes, I want to be Catholic, I want to continue this this faith journey. And I know I have some friends and some family who kind of felt almost forced into it because, you know, they were doing it in eighth grade or as a freshman. And I also know some people who think that it should be done even earlier because it's a sacrament of initiation. So I guess I'm just kind of looking for your thoughts on what that sacrament really means and when is an appropriate time to receive it.
Great. Matt, thank you so much for your call. It's an important question you ask because in Western culture especially, I can definitely speak for the United States, we have this mentality that once confirmation is received, for example, by the young person, CCD is no longer needed. Father Ken Geraci, our current vocation director here at the Fathers of Mercy, he tells a story of a woman coming up to him at the end of a parish mission, asking him, well, now that my son's been confirmed, that's it, right? And Father Ken's like, no, it's only just beginning. His life of being confirmed in Jesus Christ is only just beginning. You know, confirmation is one of the three sacraments of initiation, which makes one fully initiated into the Catholic faith. You cannot be any more Catholic once you have baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. And confirmation completes the grace of baptism, the Church teaches, by a special outpouring of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, which seal or confirm the baptized in union with Christ and equip them for active participation in the worship and the apostolic life of the Church. What kind of layman are you going to be? What kind of laywoman are you going to be? What kind of husband are you going to be? What kind of priest are you going to be? What kind of consecrated sister are you going to be? What kind of wife are you going to be? What kind of single person are you going to be in the midst of the modern world? Living that best version of yourself, following your reception of confirmation and continuing to be what I call personally a good student of the faith. So yeah, you're right, Matt. Once we receive confirmation, we now go full force because we're fully initiated as a member of the Church militant still living on earth, united with the Church triumphant, those in heaven, and united as well with the Church suffering in purgatory. This three-tiered hierarchy known as the doctrine of the communion of saints, us to them, them for us. For those of you watching on YouTube right now, you can see my hand movements, though, you know, us to them, the Church militant members to the Church triumphant in heaven, them to us, the Church triumphant aiding the Church militant on earth, us for them down below in purgatory. I say down below just to give an image, but purgatory is a real state, but us to them and them for us, you know, this three-tiered hierarchy known as the doctrine of the communion of saints, the members of the Church triumphant in heaven, the members of the Church militant on earth still fighting the good fight. This is why confirmation calls us soldiers of Christ, huh? Because we're members of the Church militant still living on earth. We're fighting the good fight of faith. And then united as well with the Church suffering in purgatory. So with confirmation, it does not end. It just only begins. And there's a beautiful section in the Universal Catechism on each one of the seven sacraments. It goes into detail about what the effects are of each sacrament. That's with an E, not an A. What the effects are of each of the seven sacraments. And one of my favorite out of all seven sacraments is the section on confirmation. And so in a nutshell, again, confirmation deepens our union with Christ and helps us proclaim our faith in Him before others as members of the Church militant, and it confirms not only our personal spiritual life, but our apostolic life in the midst of the modern world by confirming the seal of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. I hope that answers your question there, Matt. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, indeed. Thanks, Matt, for joining us on Catholic Answers Live at 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Father Wade Meniz is here. And gosh, I haven't even mentioned who our second hour guest is. You're going to be in for another treat in the second hour. Sister Miriam James Heidlin, we're going to talk about the healing power of Christ, how we receive healing, how we should be expectant. Jesus still heals, dear friends, and we're going to talk about that. Amen. With Sister Miriam James Heidlin in the second hour of the program. Real quick, Father, we had a caller who was on the line and dropped, and I forget, I think it was a woman's name, but I would like to ask you her question only because it's probably something she's very much weighed down with. She was wondering, did she commit a mortal sin by not asking her mother to get last rites for her brother when he was dying?
Okay.
To sin, venially or mortally, you have to will it. So if she was sincerely in ignorance about asking for the last rites, you know, there's no sin involved. But even if she did, the church does not teach that the last rites are absolutely, absolutely necessary for salvation. The church does not teach that. So at most, it would be a venial fault, a venial sin, because you're not a good student enough of the faith to know that you should ask for those last rites, those four parts of the last rites, the first of the four being the sacrament of the anointing of the sick itself. So no, there was no mortal sin there. It's not grave matter per se to begin with. You probably didn't have fullness of knowledge that you should ask for it, and so therefore wasn't done with deliberate consent of your will. It's usually a case like that is one done in simple ignorance.
Okay, very good. We're going to take our final time out here in this first hour of Catholic Answers Live. We've got Rose and Karen and the others on the line. We'll get to as many of you as we can. Hey, if you get EWTN, be sure to tune in to EWTN Live tonight as Catholic Answers Senior Apologist Jimmy Akin joins Father Mitch Pacwa, who hosts EWTN Live, and they're going to discuss how the Bible is a Catholic book. Be sure you don't miss that.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's street evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
As a Catholic talk show host and speaker and author, I'm often asked, how should we pray? How do we pray? Really? It's up to you, and that's between you and the Lord. We have wonderful, wonderful formalized prayers in the Catholic faith, such as a rosary, the Lord's Prayer, novenas, but you can also just open up your heart and say, Lord, help, SOS. It's as simple as that. How you pray is really up to you. Ask the Lord how you should pray, and He'll answer you.
I'm Jerry Escher in for Cy Kella today on Catholic Answers Live. Cy, I'll be back on Friday. Father Wade Menezes is here with us this hour. We'll go back to your calls in just a moment. Father, you've mentioned, and so many people emphasize frequent reception of the sacraments, and that is so important. But of course, some of them we don't receive as frequently of others. Can you run down, we got the seven sacraments, how often do we receive each of them? And
sure.
Yeah, how important is that?
Sure. Well, baptism, confirmation, and holy orders, priesthood, can only be received once because of the indelible mark or spiritual character they impart and imprint on the soul, the human soul, never, ever to be erased. Huh? Baptism, confirmation, and holy orders are received only once. The sacraments that are received repetitiously and frequently, repetitiously meaning again, and frequently, meaning technically daily if you want them, would be Eucharist and penance. Now, there's a caveat there. Daily confession, daily penance, the sacrament of penance, would not be healthy if it's being done because of scruples or scrupulosity. But that said, technically speaking, one can receive the sacrament of reconciliation daily, huh? Along with Eucharist. Think of daily Mass, for example. And the last two sacraments, Jerry, which bring us up to seven now, that can be received repetitiously, meaning again, but not frequently, not daily if you want them, would be matrimony and the anointing of the sick. So, for example, matrimony, the church teaches, for example, if your spouse dies, you can remarry, right? And then the anointing of the sick can be received whenever one begins to be in danger of death because of sickness or old age. And the church teaches that for those who are in a persistent illness state, like ongoing cancer, for example, or a cancerous state that's ongoing, they are an automatic candidate for the anointing of the sick once a month. And this is why you see many parish bulletins now, many individual parishes, they'll have a monthly anointing mass for those who are true candidates for the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, like those in a persistent illness state, who are still mobile, they can still get to the church, and once a month, say the first Friday or first Saturday, the priest anoints them after the homily of the mass, but in between the liturgy of the word and the liturgy liturgy of the Eucharist, which is the appropriate time to do that. It saves the priest, especially if he's stationed there at the parish by himself with no associate pastors. It saves him from having to do a bunch of house visits individually, especially if those sick parishioners in a persistent illness state are mobile and they can get to the parish. Now, for those who are not mobile because of their illness, of course he would make it to the house to go see them and administer the sacrament there. So baptism, confirmation, and holy orders received only once. Penance and Eucharist received repetitiously and frequently, and matrimony and anointing of the sick can be received repetitiously, but not frequently.
Very good. All right, back to your calls. Thanks for your patience, those of you on the line. Rose is in Grand Island, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hi, Rose. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry. Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And just want to say how grateful I am to you and Father Wade for your ministry and for affording us the pleasure of being able to be comfortably supplied all the information and the knowledge that we need to be heroic believers like yourself. I had a question regarding the confirmation. I come from a family of 13, and we were all confirmed, usually about the age between 12 and 18. So when you have been committing yourself and receive that sacrament, if you leave the church in adulthood, does that mean you're condemned for life, or you're excommunicated, or could you come back?
Okay, great, great question. Of course, you can always, always come back, huh? You can always come back. As to the first part of your question, I would say we need to look to Lumen Gentium, paragraph number 14, or literally section 14 of the Light of Nations document from Vatican II. When they left the church, did they do so knowing, literally, that the Catholic Church was the one true church established by Jesus Christ? Because if they knew that when they did it, then there's no hope for salvation, because they purposely turned their back on what they knew to be true. 14, number 14, or section 14 of Lumen Gentium says this: "This sacred council wishes to turn its attention firstly to the Catholic faithful. Basing itself upon sacred scripture and tradition, it teaches that the church, now sojourning on earth as an exile, is necessary for salvation. Christ present to us in his body, which is the church, is the one mediator and the unique way of salvation. In explicit terms, he himself affirmed the necessity of faith and baptism, and thereby affirmed the necessity of the church, for through baptism, as through a door, men enter the church. Whosoever, therefore, knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by Christ, would refuse to enter or to remain in it, could not be saved. But most people who leave the church don't know that the church is the one true church. There's ignorance there. It's just plain, unadulterated ignorance. They don't know that. I think very few leave the church qua knowing per se qua that the church is the one true church established by Jesus Christ. So chances are they could still attain salvation through that ignorance, okay, because they're following the dictates of their conscience, which Lumen Gentium also talks about, okay? But could they come back? Yes, they could always, always come back. To give you a fuller explanation on this very teaching that you ask about, concerning the sacraments in general and confirmation in particular, read the full text of Lumen Gentium, that's Latin for Light of Nations, section 14, of Lumen Gentium, we'll discuss further, which we just don't have the time to go into right now. And then also section 12 talks about specific other faiths, like those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, but who believe in the Father. So there's section 12 and section 14 that are worth reading. Thank you so much for your call. That's a great question.
Yeah, and for Rose's benefit and others, Father, I'm gonna try to spell Lumen Gentium for him. You can correct me if
sure.
I have any. L-U-M-E-N is Lumen, and Gentium, G-E-N-T-I-U-M, Lumen Gentium.
That's right.
Is how you pronounce it, but it's a Latin, the Latin. So, Rose, if you want to look that up online, I know it's got to be on the Vatican's website and many others as well. Okay, thank you, Rose, for joining us on the program. Karen in Wyoming, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Karen. We're glad to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Jerry and Father. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is also in reference to last rites.
Okay.
Not really thinking about might I have sinned, but thinking about my father who passed away in 2016. He was a devout Catholic. He was in the hospital for about a week. He'd had a massive stroke. All the doctors and everybody thought he was going to live and come out of it and be fine. I was taking care of him only during the night hours from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it was only after he passed away that I discovered that he had not received any anointing of the sick, or he had not received his last rites. He was living in a assisted living nursing home type of facility. But he wasn't. He was in his own apartment. He hadn't gotten to that point where he needed any assistance.
Right.
And normally the people at that facility would call a priest when anyone of the Catholic faith was sent to the hospital, and somehow it was skipped over. So my father never received his last rites, and I'm wondering, how does that affect him?
About probably, I'd say, three and a half minutes, Father.
Again, the anointing of the sick by itself and the three other parts coupled with the anointing of the sick that collectively make up, quote-unquote, the last rites. That's the prayers of commendation for the dying, Holy Viaticum, one's final Holy Communion, and the apostolic pardon. These four parts, either collectively as the last rites or just the first part, the anointing of the sick as a singular sacrament, are not required for salvation like the church teaches that baptism would be required, okay, for those who have had Christ revealed to them. Baptism is required for salvation. She does not teach that about the anointing of the sick. So there's no need to fear at all for your loved one's soul, your father, I believe you said it was. There's no need at all. My main point here in talking about the anointing of the sick and those three other beautiful parts coupled with it is because we should be good students of the faith, and we should know the faith well enough that when a loved one is dying, we call the priest to go to the hospital. We call the priest to go to the nursing home. We call the priest to go to the individual private home if the loved one is there dying at home, like my father died at home. My mother died in a hospital. My father died at home. My parents had very, very beautiful holy deaths. I want to say one other thing about not practicing the faith in this regard. And thank you so much for your question, because it allows me, again, a platform to say this. When I walk into a hospital room to give the last rites to someone who's dying, and the loved ones who are there practice the faith regularly, so it is a room full of joy. My gosh, they're so happy to see the Roman collar. Father, you wouldn't believe what mom just said just before you got here, or whatever, you know, this or that. And it's just a room full of joy. But when I walk into a hospital room or into a private home where the loved one is in the bedroom, let's say, or to the hospital room where the loved ones gather around the one who's dying, the loved one who's dying, do not practice the faith. They are horrified when they see the Roman collar walk in. It's a doomsday moment for them, because they don't practice the faith. They don't have the virtue of hope. They don't have the virtue of faith. And they surely aren't practicing the virtue of charity towards the priest who just arrived to give the last rites to their loved one, right? So we need to practice and live the sacraments. When I was invited by Catholic Answers a month or so ago to speak on a topic of my choice, I wanted it to be the sacraments. That's what I pitched to Catholic Answers. But I wanted it to especially be around the theme of practice and live the sacraments, which Jerry made so clear in the opening comments. That's the thrust of my show this hour with Jerry Usher. We need to practice and live the sacraments. We need to be good students of the faith. We need to know what the church teaches about them. So thank you so much for your question. No need to fear. It's not taught that it's necessary for salvation, the anointing of the sick, like, say, baptism is.
All right, Karen, thank you so much. We got to just really a minute before the closing music gets us out of the program, Father, so I don't think that we dare take in any other calls. Debbie and Anthony, sorry about that, but there is the apologist line at Catholic Answers, 619-387-7200, 619-387-7200, Monday through Friday from around business hours, around 9 to 5, and you can talk with someone at whatever length you need to about your questions about the sacrament. So, Father, if you would be so kind as to end this hour with a brief word of thanksgiving to the Lord and your priestly blessing, we'd appreciate that.
Amen, Jerry. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I wanted to tell you and all at Catholic Answers that may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Catholic Answers Live listeners and viewers and remain with each one of you this day and always. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'll take it.
And St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. All right, fathersofmercy.com, right, Father Wade?
That's right. And we have a Come and See Weekend coming up December 28th and 29th. And I need to give myself a fraternal correction. I think I called Joseph Dixon at the beginning of the show, one of our members, a postulant. He's a novice. He's ahead of postulancy. So we need to honor him in the state of religious life that he is. So he's novice and he's cousin there to one of your producers there, Jerry.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Father Wade. We appreciate that. Hour number two coming up here on Catholic Answers Live. Sister Miriam James Heidland, the healing power of Christ. Does Jesus still heal? How do you seek his healing? What if you're not healed when you pray for a particular healing? How to pray for healing? The importance of the sacraments for healing. What about secular uses of science and medicine? How do all these fit together? You can start calling for a second hour right now. 888.
Sister and I will dovetail beautifully with these two topics.
That's exactly right. 888-318-7884. Your questions on healing, you can call now.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.